course, it was the public holiday last week. How are you, Buzz?
Yeah, really good, mate. Very excited about Freedom Day. How good is it?
Well, we just saw some pictures, I think, on the Telegraph website, wasn't it, Loz? Was it outside the Canterbury League Club?
They were ready to get in there.
12:01, look out.
Yeah, they were all there at midnight last night. It's unbelievable. people hanging out for beer, eh?
That's keen. Like I said, we haven't caught up with you. What have you made of, what did you make of the grand final and, I guess, the fallout?
Oh, look, I thought it was another wonderful game of footy. I really did. I think we've had the most magnificent final series. The better side probably won Penrith, but I keep thinking if Latrell Mitchell was there, that South would be premiers today, and he's paid, and the club paid a very heavy price for that tackle on Joey Manu, who on the eve of the finals. But take nothing away from the Panthers' magnificent leadership, particularly by Nathan Cleary. That kicking game won the grand final. He deserved the Clive Churchill medal. And, yeah, good on the Panthers. Great season. They had to do it the hard way through some brutally tough football over a month. And they carried so many injuries with Dylan Edwards and Cleary headlining the injured players. But, no, they deserved the title after making the GF last year.
Buzz, what did you make of the Brad Arthur re-signing? Are you surprised or was this expected?
I thought it was actually long overdue, Clarkey, because I think all other clubs in the NRL should be crying out for the sustained excellence that he's been able to deliver for the Parramatta Eels. And while they haven't gone that extra couple of step or two in the finals, they are thereabouts every year. And that's all a fan of a club, a member of a club, a sponsor can ask for. They're there about every single year. And, you know, it's a really tough competition to be able to do that. And you know what? You look back, and you look back at that loss to Penrith. You look back at Jerome Luai holding Mitchell Moses back and not getting the penalty and not getting the sin bin. You look at their trainer running onto the field. You think Parramatta could have beaten Penrith so easily that day, and that's how close they are to winning a competition. That's how close. They gave Penrith more trouble in the finals than any other club. And I think the next couple of years they can win a premiership. I think they're going to get better. I think they've worked their cap out. And I just like what Brad Arthur's built. I'm surprised it took Parramatta this long to lock him down long term.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Buzz. I think the Parramatta are heading for some really good years. And what he was able to do at the back end of the year, beat Melbourne and then, one game short of going to a prelim final, whereas they could have won that game against Penrith, and it was a brutal contest. And I think the way that he was able to get them to lift at the back end certainly showed that they were playing for him.
Remember that 4 or 5 bad weeks they had, and everyone said, oh, they're going to have to get rid of Brad Arthur, but the way he pulled that side together. And you can tell, I reckon with Brad as much as any other coach in the competition, the players love playing for him. Every week, that you can see it in the sheds when the Fox and Channel 9 cameras go in before and after games. He's like Wayne Bennett with his relationship with players.
Well, they look like they're all emotionally connected. You know, if they see each other, they know how much time and effort they put in. They ride the highs and lows together. They're an emotional group.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's a great decision for Parramatta, and I think they will have success in the next couple of years under him. You've written today in the Daily Telegraph about, the league is facing its most critical sort of stage in the next few years in terms of the strategic plan and where they're heading to. We know that there's one team about to come into the NRL in 2023. Will we see an 18th team, or what's your sort of story in the paper today about strategic planning?
Yeah, guys, look, it was really interesting about half an hour ago, and I heard Brett Devine on radio from the ATC talking about the change in racing over the last 7 or 8 years. And what the Everest has done, how New South Wales Racing used to just hand over to Victoria this time of the year for the Coffs Plate, the Caulfield Cup, the Melbourne Cup, etc. Then Peter Volandis and his excellent staff at Racing New South Wales and the ATC got together and decided to put on this great horse race that we've got on this weekend. And what that did was attract a brand new demographic to Sydney Racing, where we get the, you know, young people, teenagers, you know, up to 30 years of age, and they go out there and they have a great day. They punt, they have a beer, they drink cocktails, and it's a break away from the traditional race goer. Now, that's the sort of thinking now the NRL need to undertake, and I spoke to Peter Volandis yesterday about this. How are we going to grow the game over the next decade? It's very easy to bring in a second Brisbane side next year. They have the year after. They have a population of 2.5 million with only one side there. They've got Wayne Bennett to coach the side. They've got corporates and, you know, a massive supporter base there in Brisbane. That's easy. We know they're going to, and we know they're going to be financially strong because the bids and the three franchises have been outstanding. But what do we do? Do we just sit on 17 teams? Do we just sit on 8 games a week? Or do we think, you know, we've got to grow even more. We've got to get more TV ratings. We've got to get more eyeballs. We've got more members, more fans, more sponsors. We've got to do something like racing have done. Do we bring in Ipswich next time, Rockhampton next time, New Zealand next time, Perth next time? Are these Sydney clubs, the underperforming clubs, are they holding the game back? Do we start putting more pressure on them to get their acts together? Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's very easy, Loz, to sit back and stay as we are, but I wrote this morning that the most magnificent final series has camouflaged what wasn't the greatest season we've ever had. There were too many blowouts. There were too many underperforming teams. Too many 60, 50-point score lines. So I'm then thinking, OK, what if we do go to 22 and we sell a lot more merchandise and memberships and get more people to games and 10 matches a weekend and more money off the broadcasters? How do we level the premiership? And I've suggested we have to look at a draft because the Melbourne Demons were absolutely hopeless, what, 7-8 years ago? Pathetic. But they grew. And the GWS Giants were getting bashed when they first entered the competition. What did the draft do for them? I think we have to somehow plan to enable clubs like the West Tigers to be able to compete for the best players in the comp. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm. What about, I know there's been some talk about a conference system, so you get, you know, the Sydney clubs playing more derbies and then you've got the outer Sydney clubs playing together a lot more. Would you be a fan at looking at something like that?
Yeah, look, I think it's got to be something that goes on to the discussion table and, look, I'm sure it will. What worries me a little bit about that, Loz, look, just say I'm a Cronulla Sharks fan and I pay my $1,000 a year for my membership and I've got my season ticket down at Shark Park. I actually love having Melbourne Storm in town in my backyard to watch Jerome Hughes, to watch Ryan Pappenhausen, to watch Harry Grant, to watch Brandon Smith. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the reasons you become a member because you see these
You miss out on watching the superstars.
That's right. That's right. So, as long as you get to see them once, you know, every 2 years, I guess it would work. But, look, smarter minds than me are going to evaluate all this. But I love Peter Volandi's quote that you don't plan 2 or 3 years ahead. You don't sit back and say, let's just have a look and see how this new Brisbane franchise goes. We have to look a lot. But we've got to decide what's the comp going to look like, Laurie, when when we're all long retired and gone, you know?
Buzz, what about the talk at West Tigers, the criticism for Luke Brooks receiving Tigers Player of the Year?
Well, you love the West Tigers. Do you think he should have been player of the year?
Nope.
No, it's a really interesting one. And Michael Maguire, Adam Hardigan, and the board member Danny Stapleton vote for the player of the year. And Luke Brooks had a fair season. I had a look at the Daly M, so I think he got 12 points. But Adam Dewey, I think, was the most obvious player of the year at any of the 16 clubs. He was so superior to any other player at that club. Maybe Dane Laurie was a reasonably close second. He got 20 points in the Daly M Awards, Adam Dewey. He finished 8th in the whole entire NRL in a really ordinary football side. And there are players there asking questions. How did Luke Brooks... And that's not good for team harmony and players are, you know, asking questions like that. It's just another really weird decision the West Tigers have made.
But if the players, is there been a disagreement with the players or is this just a build-up because of exactly that? Everyone knows that Adam Dewey should have got it.
I spoke to a player manager over the weekend who has a couple of players at the West Tigers, and he said most of the group are absolutely baffled about the fact that Adam Dewey didn't get the award and Luke Brooks did. So that's where I got my information from, and I checked it out with the West Tigers yesterday, and there was certainly no denials there. What do you reckon, Mike?
Oh, I thought Adam Dewey was their best player.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought he was their best player.
By length, correct?
Yeah. No, I think he was the standout for sure. Yeah, I like Luke Brooks for me. He was okay this season. Had his moments, but yeah, as being consistent, I thought that Adam Dewey was by far and away their best
in rugby league.
Luciano Leilua, I thought had a decent year for them.
Do players in rugby league, do they care that much about those individual awards? Because in cricket, for example, the Alan Border medal, there's probably only five guys that play all three formats that are eligible to win it. And every year, whoever wins, there's probably someone else that's close. The players actually don't really care. They're like, congratulations, rightio, let's go. Did we win our last test match or did we lose?
But I think that if someone wins it that you weren't expecting to win, you have a bit of a chat about it.
Yeah, players take the mickey, though, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's like, geez, what happened here?
Yeah.
How many border medals did you... Clarkie, how many border medals did you win?
Not sure.
Well, what I'm saying is, I bet they're put away somewhere nice at your house, at home.
No, I haven't got any.
Off for your kids.
I don't have any. My grandfather's got them all.
Oh, really? Well, that's...
I do not have one piece of cricket memorabilia in my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that, mate?
Not sure. Just don't know. I just never have.
Yeah, but what never I'm have. Saying is, and you've just answered the question, it's a cherished family, you know, that the players might think so, but, you know, your family are obviously so proud of it. And very lucky granddad who's looking after that gear for you.
Don't give out his address.
No. Whenever you go bad, Clarky, you might have to flog it.
Let's hope I don't get there, Buzz. Never say never, though, I guess.
Mate, one out, one back, you are. You're flying. No,
I reckon I'll be selling a few more things before an Alan Border medal, let me tell you. They're worth about 5 cents. My little athletics medal's worth more than my Alan Border medal, I can tell you now, in regards to how it's made.
It's only small, isn't it?
Oh, you're great. It's so token.
It's so token, it's not fun. The ribbon's worth more than the medal that goes around your neck.
Hey, Buzz, Adam Reynolds, how's he ahead of his move to Brisbane? We saw that he was struggling with a groin issue in the finals, but is there something more sinister?
NRL physio put it up on social media last night. He came out of a tackle very awkwardly in the grand final, and I spoke to a few people at South over the weekend, and he's still under South care for another month, and he's off to get an MRI to make sure the shoulder's okay. But certainly a scare. He's had trouble with it since the game, you know. So hopefully it won't be too bad, because the Broncos need him desperately at the start of the season. They need him to be taking part in all the off-season stuff as well. So it'll be watch this space story, that one.
And just before you go, mate, I see you've done a little bit of an article on Cameron Serraldo, and he's saying that he's going to stay with Penrith next season, and he could stay there for another couple of years after that as well.
Well, he's a really intelligent dude, Cameron Ferraldo, and he's only 36 years of age. He's got a really, really young family, and I'm not sure that he wants to put himself through the stress of coaching. And right now, this is one of the reasons why he was never interested in the West Tigers job when people were writing that, you know, he was a contender to replace Michael Maguire. He has been in the system as a coach since retiring for 8 years. He is very much responsible, as much responsible, for bringing these young Penrith players through over the last half a dozen years. A lot of people rate him as the next big thing in coaching. And look, I like his steady as he goes. He says he's still got a bit more to learn. He'll eventually be a great NRL coach. But my liking, he's got a bit of Trent Robinson about him. Similar age, he's ready to come into coaching. There's a massive rap on him.
Buzz, thanks so much, mate. We'll chat next week.
Yeah, good on you guys. Have a great freedom day. Good on you.